Bible said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And God has certainly blessed us with that liberty. And we are what we are because of the cross of Calvary.
Amen.
Hey, I'm going to sing that song, Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross. Give me a couple of backup musicians. This is my story. This is my song. How many of us write? It reminds me of blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. You and I can't get very far from the cross. Religion wants to lure you away, to stand on your own merit. How many know that's right? That's the conspiracy. God has a better plan than that. That is to keep you near Him, because in Him all power in heaven and earth dwells. And He's given it to the church, but we're His body. So it would stand evident we need to stay close to Him if we're His body.
Yeah.
How many of us right?
Amen.
When I was in Vietnam, they fired a 122 rocket into the base that I was on. Steve was there. And, of course, they send out sirens. You know, the sirens go off. But you don't need a siren when a rocket goes off near where you're at. You're already setting upright in the bed. And by the time the siren went off, my skin had crawled away from my bones and was headed to the bunker. My bones were just laying there thinking, what was that all about? And then the elasticity stopped. Get that? And it just pulled my bones. And there I was, standing at the door of the bunker. And I told myself I would never go down in there, because things were in there. Just right outside my door was a hole. Went down under steel revetment covered with sandbags. I looked down in there once and saw a dead rat. I told myself, nah. But on that particular early morning hour, yes, just tell the rat, move over. When you're old like me and you dance and run around, it takes a little while for your lungs to catch up with the demand for the blood supply to be oxygenated. In other words, I'm huffing and puffing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, everybody. You and Him, a great combination. God's got a people. You're it. We're not all of it, but we're it. Thank God for His choice on our lives. Last week we were ministering about a covenant relationship God had that Abraham started with a maid, the Egyptian maid. And I want to go back to Genesis where we were in that story. The Bible said that Hagar left, persecuted by Sarah. By Sarai. And there was something precious about how God brought that word in Genesis 16 to Sarah, to Hagar the maid, to Abraham. And ultimately, the Bible said that the angel of the Lord found Hagar the maid. She'd left. She was wandering in the wilderness. She didn't know where to go. And the angel of the Lord told her to go home because Abraham would be able to impact that kid's life. And we need that leadership from God. The angel was wise. He said, you go home. Wasn't going home for her. Going home for the child. Going home because it was a covenant that was in her. And then the angel told her, "And Hagar, you're going to have a baby. And I'm going to tell you what to name him. You name the baby Ishmael." You see how things are ordered of God. We talked last week about how she went home and submitted herself. That's what the angel said. You submit yourself to Sarah. To Sarai. And that's the old covenant. God was going to change her name to Sarah. Abraham's name from Abram to Abraham. Abram meant father of heights, high places. Big man, top guy. And God changed it to a father of nations. Took away that sense of being the big guy. Took the I out of Sarai. Sarai means Jah is my prince. God is my prince. And Sarah means princess. So she went from saying God is my prince to being a princess. The only way she could do that is to marry him. How many know that's right? Such is the covenant relationship of God. We said that there were three things that happened between this covenant being birthed. Bless you. This covenant being birthed. And the second covenant coming into place. We talked about Sarah and Abram at home. God comes and talks with him, says Sarah's going to have a child. She laughs. He said, why did you laugh? She lied, said, I didn't laugh. He said, well, you did laugh, but you're going to have a child anyway. And so the covenant came to pass. We think if we fail God or if we miss God or if we lied to God or tried to lie to God, surely he wouldn't bless us. God already had a choice. God already knew she was going to laugh. God already knew she would deny that she laughed before she laughed. How many know that God knows what's coming? But that old covenant that Hagar represented was the Jewish people and the legalism, the law that they turned it into. It didn't start out from that aspect because the seed came out of Abraham. How many know that's right? The seed came out of Abraham. The egg came out of Hagar. So the impetus or the seed came from Abraham. And from that righteous seed came a covenant. The covenant was corrupted in that it had an Egyptian mother. Egypt represents religion. It's how men get things done. Egypt represented religion in the Old Testament. The reason we know that is because God sent Joseph to Egypt. And Joseph was a picture in the Old Testament of Jesus. He was hated of his brothers because he was the favorite of the Father. Jesus was hated of the Jewish brothers because he was the favorite of the Father. He called himself, he told people, you pray our Father which art in heaven. They were going to stone him. He said, what good work do you stone me for? They said, not for good works, but because you make one with the Father. Joseph's dad made him a coat of many colors. Jesus was prophet, priest, and king. He wasn't just going to be the Messiah and a king. He was going to be a prophet. He was going to be a priest. So hence the coat of many colors. The Bible said that his brothers, his dad sent him down to visit his brothers, and they decided to kill him. His brother Judah, or Judas in the New Testament, said, let's don't kill him, let's sell him. So Judas, in the book of Genesis, sold his brother for silver, just as Judas in the New Testament sold Jesus for silver. They took his coat and dipped it in blood, which is a picture of the crucifixion. So you get the idea how Egypt is a picture of religion. Joseph is sold by his brothers. When the Jews reject him, he goes into Egypt. And there he's a slave. He's a household slave. And while he's there, he's put down in a dungeon because of false accusations. Jesus was falsely accused. And that's after his crucifixion, because remember, they had the coat dipped in blood. After the crucifixion, the Bible tells us that Joseph was going to run into a problem because there was going to be a woman who wanted him, and that's a church. Picture of woman is a church. So the Bible tells us in the book of Genesis that there was going to be a false church rise up and claim that Joseph wanted her, that Jesus wanted her. And that's true. A false church rose up in the Roman Empire and began to take over the authority and power of the Roman Empire, and it's still with us today. And it claimed that Joseph wanted her, or Jesus wanted her. So God gave us a picture of that. And because of that, because of the false church, truth went in the dungeon. Darkness settled on the earth. And it wasn't until the end of that time came that God sent forth a word of reconciliation, and there was going to be destruction. 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. 7 years of great tribulation. And Pharaoh had the dream. He understood that it was coming. He just didn't know what it was. It was coming, and there was only one who understood it. So he had to go get Jesus. And that's what we need. The church world's talking all kinds of stuff. Everybody's got different opinions about what's going to happen in the last days. We need Jesus. Amen. And Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. Well, that'd be easy enough. But you know what? It's very difficult to know whose voice you're hearing. Yeah. See, I can pick up the phone and hear my mom's voice and say, oh, it's my mom. I can hand the phone to you. You don't know my mom's voice. You don't know who it is. You'll say, who is this? Or you'll be embarrassed to say it since I handed you the phone. Here, she wants to talk to you. Who is this? Oh, it's my mom. Why? You don't know her name. I know her name. So Jesus chose to reveal himself by his name. He said, my sheep know my name, or know my voice. And the voice of another, they won't follow. So God has to bring the church under his voice. We haven't done that. We haven't done that for a long, long time as a Christian community. We've had Bible schools teaching people how to make sermons. But the reason we have relied only on sermons is because we lost his voice. My job as a minister is to introduce you to the voice because I hear it. And that's what happened to Peter. Jesus said, who do men say I am? He said, you're the Christ, the Son of God. He heard the voice of God revealing who Jesus was, right? And Jesus validated. He had somebody there said, that's the voice of God. This is truth. Then Peter tells Jesus, you're not going to be crucified. Same thing. He thinks he hears the voice. Am I right? And immediately Jesus stops that voice. He said, Peter, that ain't the right voice. You need someone who knows the voice. It's like, that's not the right voice. So you say, your mom's on the phone. I say, my mom, let me hear that. Not my mom. That's not my mom. It's not my mom. Why? Are you sure? Are you kidding me? She's the one that came running down the 6 steps to my basement room when I was yelling mom and slapped my face around. I know her voice. I know her voice. She started teaching me her voice before I understood English. Yeah. What language did I understand then, you ask? None. I didn't understand any language. But I knew when I cried, she would show up and she'd feed me. If I was wet and uncomfortable, I would cry. And she'd come and find out why I was crying and change me. I mean, no, that's right. And then she would tell me all these cute little cooing things, and I got to know her voice because the voice of the person who fed me and the voice of the person who changed me, the voice of the person who got up in the middle of the night was her voice. Her voice. So I learned her voice. Long before I knew what she was saying, I knew her voice. I knew her voice before I knew what she said. And that's why Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, because the sheep doesn't understand what you're saying. Comforting? Comforting? Sure, we don't always understand what Jesus said. That's why he said, my sheep know my voice, because the sheep just looks at him like, because you have no idea what he's saying. But you know him. You know, this is the shepherd by the voice. So Hagar is sent by an angel back to come into subjection to Sarah so that that covenant could be in Abraham's hands for 13 years, 7 and 6, right? 13 is 7 and 6. So God's telling us it's going to come to perfection in a man. And that covenant did come to perfection in a man. How many know that's right? That covenant, Hagar's baby, came to perfection in a man, Jesus of Nazareth, because he said, I came to fulfill the law. So the covenant was actually fulfilled in that. That's why Ishmael was circumcised when he was 13 years old. Okay? So, see, this is actually about a five-part sermon. I figure 79.95 at best. But, so then we went to the three things that happened in between times. And after that angel sends Hagar home, then the Bible tells us that the Lord appeared to Abraham and told him he's going to have a son. He also told him, I'm the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. Verse 1 of chapter 17, am I right? And Abraham was 90 years old and 9. The Lord appeared to him in Mamre, to Abraham, and said unto him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. So you couldn't under that old covenant. So somewhere between the first covenant and the second covenant, Abraham comes to a place where God said, I want you to walk before me perfect. Why? Because I'm the Almighty God. That first covenant was not almighty. Is that right? Is born of a maid. Does not have the promise of God and the power of God that comes with the promise. So now I want to go over to, and so what I want to minister about today is the seed of our Father. The seed of our Father. So the second thing that happened after God told Abraham to be perfect was he decided to destroy Sodom, and he told Abraham, I'm going to destroy Sodom. And Abraham intercedes for Lot. his brother's son. So we see intercession coming out of this man who's a prophet. And because he's a prophet, God tells him what he's getting ready to do. It does not surprise him when the fire falls on Sodom. It does not surprise him when the fire destroys Gomorrah. Why? Because he is a man of God. He already knows this is coming. Lot didn't know it was coming. But the man who walked with God knew it was coming. Lot quit walking with God when he quit walking with Abraham. Now he is blood of Abraham, am I right? But he is not chosen by God. Now, listen to what happens. And we know that they both die. Now I want to go to chapter 19. And I want to begin verse 22. Lot and his two daughters. We talked about this last week. The two daughters of Lot have seen such a catastrophe in the world that they decide there's nobody left. They are not committing a lewd act with their dad. They are trying to replenish the earth. God had given a commandment to Adam, replenish the earth, go and multiply. And they believe that everybody's dead. The Bible tells us right here in 19, verse 30. And Lot went up out of Zoar, dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him. For he feared to dwell in Zoar. Fear has overcome Lot. And he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. And the firstborn said unto the younger, our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. That girl believed every man on earth had died. You can't imagine an hour more catastrophic than to watch so much of humanity burn and people die. You flee up into this mountain and you believe it's just you, your sister, and your dad, and there will be no more people. And so out of that comes this desire to preserve seed. She is misinformed. She has not a clue what's true. She's operating on what she sees. She's operating in the natural, and that's exactly what Lot has produced. He walked with God when he was around Abraham. He saw what Abraham did. He was there when Abraham built his altar to God. The first altar to God he built, he was with Abraham when Abraham built the second altar to God. He was with Abraham when they went down into Egypt. Lot has been with Abraham all this time, and you guys, he is clueless about God. And that's why God separated Abraham from him. You can talk all you want to somebody. You can talk all you want to somebody that is not called by God to come to this place, and they can live with you. Lot lived with Abraham and would not go back to Abraham. When that fire was going to fall out of heaven, why didn't he say, I'm going to go back to Abraham? Yeah. Lord, let me go back to Abraham. When I was with Abraham, I know Abraham kept Sodom safe once. God rescued all of Sodom for Lot one time with Abraham. You guys, that power of God to redeem does not translate into a redemption for a person who doesn't want to follow through. Lot was satisfied with Sodom. He was satisfied with Sodom. And he lost everything there. Now listen, verse 32 then. Come, let us make our father drink wine. We'll lie with him, and that we may preserve seed of our father. So here's this word, seed of our father. We have this sense of taking the lineage of this man and carrying it on down. We know about the seed of Abraham. We know about the seed of David. The Bible is full of that. The book of Romans starts talking about the seed of David. We know that Christ is the seed of David. So we understand how important this is. We understand that Abraham's seed, the Bible said, your seed will possess the gate of your enemies. Talking about your seed being Jesus. He didn't say your seeds as many. He said your seed. That's what he said in Galatians. God revealed to us in the New Testament what God was talking about in the Old Testament. So then he says this. They have these children. Now, the older daughter and the young daughter. Now, let's go to verse 37. And the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab, the same as the father of Moabites unto this day. And the younger, she also bare a son and called his name Ben-Ammi, the same as the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. Now, I want you to go over to Genesis 39, or Genesis 19. I'm in 19. I want you to go with me, excuse me, to 1 Kings 11. In 1 Kings 11, Solomon is in trouble. with God. And I want to begin with verse 26. And Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, from Ephraim, he's an Ephraimite, of Zerada, Solomon's servant, whose mother's name was Zeruiah, widow woman, even he lifted up his hand against the king. And this was the cause that he lifted up his hand against the king. So we're getting ready to see the kingdom of Israel split. And these things were done for our admonition. The Bible said that everything that was in the Bible was done for our admonition on whom the ends of the world are come. Men are talking about the end of the world. I don't believe we're at the end of the world. But I do believe we're coming to a place where the covenant, the new covenant, should become to a fullness. Israel thought the world was going to end when their covenant came to a fullness. Their covenant came to a fullness. That's what God was talking about. Jesus came, fulfilled the Old Testament covenant, and everything became different. The temple became his body. The blood of rams became his blood. The sacrifice altar became the cross of Calvary. Everything they did before in types and shadows became a reality in Jesus Christ. Now, how could you prepare for such a day like that in the flesh? You couldn't. The high priest became Jesus. The sacrifice became Jesus. Now, wait a minute. Either you're the high priest or you're the sacrifice. How can you be everything? That's why we sing that song. Lots of songs say he's my everything. That's because he was everything. He is everything. But to Israel, they were coming to the end of a covenant, and what God was telling them is, this is going to be a day that's going to stop everything as you know it. And the day that Jesus died on the cross, everything ceased to be the same. Everything ceased. You could go to the temple and bring your blood for the forgiveness of your sins that worked in the Old Testament, and the day after Jesus died at Calvary, it would not work. That's how the world ended for him. See why it ended? God didn't tell him the world would end. He said the covenant would end, and you're not going to be ready for it. You're going to be living in a fleshly realm. That's why it was Ishmael that came to that place. This is Hagar, that covenant that genders to bondage. Now, she's of the seed of Abraham. So God says Israel is going to have that covenant, but out of that covenant is going to come a perfect son. He's going to be circumcised when he's 13. The perfect man. Now listen. This was the cause that he lifted up his hand against the king. So Jeroboam is going to lift up his hand against King Solomon. Here's the reason why. Because Solomon built Milo. Well, now that's disgusting. If ever I heard a disgusting thing. How many think that's disgusting? Disgusting. But Milo meant fullness. Abundance. It meant to be full. To accomplish. To have everything you wanted to be accomplished. And there's a danger in that. There's a danger in that. What's the danger? Jesus said, it's like a rich man whose ground brought forth plenty. And he said in himself, I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build greater. And I'll say to my soul, take thine ease. And he said, this day, you're a wicked servant. He said, this day will your soul be required of you. Why is that? What is this taking of ease that is a problem? The taking of ease is the disaster that happened to Israel after Pentecost. Within 60 years, these Jewish people in Jerusalem were taking their ease. And God sends this book of Hebrews to them. For years, I read the book of Hebrews, and I thought it was to the Hebrew people, to the priests who were renegade against God, who had rebelled against the covenant, who'd fought against Jesus, who walked contrary to the things that God revealed to them. That wasn't it. This book of Hebrews was written to the church that had been filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. This was to the Hebrew people who knew these things. They knew that Jesus washed their sins away with his blood. But they were so ingrained in giving God their best, they went back to giving God their best. They could not step completely out on faith, because if you didn't circumcise your child on the eighth day, it would be a disaster for you. You couldn't do it on the ninth day. And the ninth day's too late. You could regret it on the tenth day. The tenth day's too late. God said, circumcise your son on the eighth day. So you took his forever in your hands. You loved that child. And you, if you were vacillating between this new covenant and the old covenant, it's like, okay, but in order to be part of the kingdom, I have to circumcise his child. I have to cut his flesh off. If he's not circumcised, he's not in the kingdom. And faith says, yes, circumcision is of the heart, because that's what God told Abraham. Abraham, circumcision is not outward in the flesh, it is circumcision of the heart. I'm going to cut away the flesh of your heart and change the way you think. You guys, that's the difference of this covenant. God begins to cut away the way you think. Religion tells you, you cut away the way you think. You guys, how would you cut away what you think? How would you cut away what you think? Because you're not going to come to the conclusion about who you are. I tell people, I am great to live with. I am great to live with. Because I am absolutely no problem. I am no problem at all. I am fun to live with. I am a joy to live with. Everybody wants me to live with them. Then I live with somebody and they go, they have a completely different rendition. Now, why is that? Because they're confused and warped. Because they need help. Because they're not like me. How many know that's right? Nobody. Oh. But at least that's right. Yeah, it's right. This isn't right in right sense of right. That's right. And whoever said that's in trouble. We have. I'm going to put a camera up here that scans. It's going to be voice activated. You say something, boom, I got your picture. Then I'm going to find out, was it good? Or was it bad? And you walked 17 miles because you got mad at me. And I came and got you because I still loved you. And he had blisters on his feet. I should have made him walk home. Come on. The thing of it is, you guys, how would I know how bad I am? Because I like me. And I think everything I do is right. That was Greg. See, I know that voice. And so that's what God's trying to explain to the church. Is you already think you're right. You don't know what to cut off. It's like, well, I'm going to make myself what God would want me to be. Well, where would you start? Right here. With you. I'm going to get everybody around me right. Then everything will be good. That's why the early church lived together, you guys, because God understood something about living around other people has an effect on your sainthood. Think about it. Every saint didn't live around a bunch of people. But God called us saints, and we're going to live together in the body. Amen. That's because we are going to have God deal with us. That's why someone else washes your feet. The Bible says all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the way the Lord weigheth the spirit within. So I need you to tell me right away, you know, there's something you do that drives me nuts. Yeah. Yeah. Why? Because then I can work on me. But if you think I'm going to eventually catch on that what I do is problematic to you, I won't, because it isn't problematic to me. Feels right to me. This is what I do at home. So move home. Oh, the laughter has become villainous. Evidently, you've had people that have impacted you that way in the body, and you just don't want to laugh openly lest they look at you. So God says that these two daughters have two sons, and those sons are Moab and Ammon. Now, I want you to go with me over here to 1 Kings. And what happens is that Solomon has built this city of contentment. I am full. I have achieved everything I want. I am the man. I am at ease. I don't have to do anything more. You guys, that's what happened to the Laodicean church. Solomon built the temple of God. How many know that's right? Solomon built the temple of God in the Old Testament. The Bible said that your seed after you is going to build me a temple. That's what God told David. David, you're a man of blood. You're not going to build the temple. Your seed after you is going to build the temple. And he assumed it was Solomon. It wasn't Solomon, because he said, the seed after you that builds my temple, there will be no end to his kingdom. That's the reason there had to be an end to Solomon's reign. Because he wasn't the man who built the house. That was a stone house. And God was talking about Jesus who built the house that you and I are. Yeah. God wanted to live in you, because the greatest thing about a house is having a voice when you come through the front door. It's like, hi, hey, see how that works? You don't want to go in there and talk to yourself. How many want to go home to an empty house? Nobody wants to go home to an empty house. You want someone that talks to you. That's what a home is like. A home is like, it's like your wife and kids go home to visit their mother. You come in the door and it's like, this don't feel like the same place. This don't feel like the same place. The sameness about this place was the voices and the camaraderie and the fellowship and the laughter and the joking and the anger and the frustration and the stretching and the elasticity and the relationship and the fellowship. And this ain't the same. Four walls, same couch. You can sit on the same couch. It's not as comfortable. How many of us, right? It is not as comfortable. And that's what God is talking about you and me. So here's the thing. Solomon comes to this place of fullness, abundance. What happened to America, you guys? Abundance. We came to abundance. And we came to this place because we were full. We took our ease. The church took its ease. We had no more things to conquer. We had no more things to conquer. And while we were so busy congratulating ourselves on building bigger churches, because that was the goal, wasn't it? That's a really small goal on the earth. You go out into outer space and look back down on the earth, and you're going to find out a church of 10,000 people isn't even visible. A church of 20,000 people isn't even visible. That's how insignificant what man builds is. God's building a church that's universal. It's everywhere. But we became contented with the big buildings because the work then was minimized. The work was very building bigger churches because that was the goal, wasn't it? That's a really small goal on the earth. You go out into outer space and look back down on the earth, and you're going to find out a church of 10,000 people isn't even visible. A church of 20,000 people isn't even visible. That's how insignificant what man builds is. God's building a church that's universal. It's everywhere. But we became contented with the big buildings because the work then was minimized. The work was very small in scope. And we could become the star of the program. And that's what happened to the church. Now, so Jeroboam gets stirred up. And here's the reason that he was lift up his hand against Solomon, because he built Milo and repaired the breaches of the city of David, his father. And what it meant is he extended the parapets. He enlarged the city of David. I made the city bigger. Man, my dad had a city here. I made a big city here. I have enhanced the work. Listen, and the man Jeroboam was a mighty man of valor. And Solomon, seeing the young man that he was industrious, he made him ruler over all the charge of the house of Joseph. That was a really great idea. Because it was Joseph who was the picture of Jesus. And this man is over the whole house of Joseph. Now, because Jesus is going to rule as a king, because Jesus is going to rule as a king from Judah, then this house of Joseph is in good standing. Listen, and it came to pass at that time when Jeroboam went out of Jerusalem that the prophet Ahijah the Shilonite found him in the way. And a Shilonite found him in the way, and he had clad himself with a new garment. Brand new garment. And they too were alone in the field. The prophet of God and the new king were alone in the field. You know why? Because you don't do this thing in front of Solomon and his army. It's a good way to lose the man. And Ahijah caught the new garment that was on him and rent it in 12 pieces. And he said to Jeroboam, take thee 10 pieces. For thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I will rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon and will give 10 tribes to you. But he shall have one tribe for my servant David's sake and for Jerusalem's sake, the city which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel. We know that Jerusalem fell to the right of Benjamin. Because that they have forsaken me and have worshipped Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Sidonians. And Ashtaroth, I made a note about this because, you know, I don't know much about these gods, except they're a mess. And it came from, the root was Ashar. If you want to look it up in your Hebrew and you have Strong's Concordance, Ashar. And it said rich, to enrich, or to become wealthy, to enrich oneself, or to pretend to be rich. As the Laodicean church pretended to be rich. God said, you're not rich. You think you're rich and have need of nothing. And that word, of course, evolved and was used in common usage as Ashtaroth or flock or the increase. So you became wealthy by the increase of your flock. Same thing that's happened to the church. Ashtaroth was the last rendition of it. These are all 06 to 51 and 06 253. They're all words that are evolving, added to like we do synonyms and suffixes and prefixes. Listen, and it meant star. It came to mean the star. Men have become the star of the church. It was the principal deity of the Phoenicians. It was worshipped in war and fertility. Of course, you're the star if you have the biggest church. Of course, you're the star. It was also called Ishtar by Assyria and Astarte by the Greeks and Romans. Okay, so that was the first thing that we see happening. And it said that this is what God said they did. Verse 33, come back with me. Because that they have forsaken me, they forsook the God of Abraham, and they worshipped Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, Chemosh, the god of the Moabites, and Milcom, the god of the children of Ammon. The two daughters of Lot became two kingdoms of people, and out of these two kingdoms came two false gods. And Israel came down off of the mountain in relationship with Abraham and had fellowship with the false gods of the daughters of Lot, who believed there was nobody left on the earth. You guys, if your beginning comes from that kind of ignorance to what's going on, these daughters did not know that the destruction was coming. Abraham knew the destruction was coming. God sent an angel to get Lot and his daughters out of there because God heard the intercession of Abraham. Cupcake, do you want to come by me? Huh? She's going out. I love you. All right. She's going with her mom. Now, the thing is, my daughter was just behind you, Lynn. I winked at you. It was my daughter. Thanks. I don't want your husband to catch me after church and go, you winked at my wife. I saw it. Listen to me. And then she moved. You know, there's nothing worse than your daughter crawling up beside somebody and then you wink at your daughter and then she's gone. The person looks behind us like, me? Oh, great. Preacher really likes me over at LeCompton. Here's the thing, you guys. What God is talking about in this word is, you guys, do you see what's happened between the time that the real covenant came to pass, where God has given us the Old Testament covenant and the New Testament covenant? In that short span of time in the book of Genesis, God tells us, I found Abraham and I told him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. He raised the bar of what his requirements were to Abraham, and Abraham most certainly could not do it. And he wasn't going to be able to do it because Ishmael was his son. Because God was almighty. The assurance came out of what God said first. God said first, I'm the Almighty God. The Sermon on the Mount starts with the ability to be. The 48th verse of chapter 5 said, be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. But it isn't where Jesus started. He started by saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, yours is the kingdom of heaven. Be therefore perfect came out of God giving us victory. Blessed are the poor in spirit, yours is the kingdom of heaven. A God who gave us the kingdom. Not because we could do it. We were poor in spirit. We realized we were in debt to God. We couldn't do what we thought we ought to do. And Jesus starts the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the poor in spirit. Then in verse 48, he said, be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And if you don't come from verse 1 or verse 3, you're in a disaster. Because there's no way you're going to make yourself perfect by doing stuff. Everything Jesus preached in the Sermon on the Mount was about attitude. It was about the inside and why you did what you did. You can give offerings, but if you give offerings to be seen of men, you're wasting your time. You can pray out loud, but if you're praying so men will hear what you pray, you're wasting your prayer, he said. It's the attitude of the heart. It's the reason you're doing what you're doing, and God knows what you're doing it for. God's talking to you and me about honest things. That's why he said, go into your prayer closet and shut the door and pray. I don't want people to hear what you say. If you have people hear what you say, you got your reward. Because they said, oh, a mighty prayer warrior. You guys, that isn't what God's after. What God is after is me honestly talking to him because he hears me when I pray. The same thing with you. So these two gods, these false gods, this first god, the national deity of the Moabites, was also a part-time god of the Ammonites. They had multiple gods. And it was identified later with Baal Peor and Beelzebub. And I want to read real quick in Jeremiah chapter 48. And I want you to go with me to verses 7 through 13. Jeremiah 48, 7 through 13. Because God's talking to Moab here. For because thou hast trusted in thy works and in thy treasures. You trusted in what? Moab. They trusted in what? Their works and their treasures. You shall also be taken. Chemosh, that's the God, shall go forth into captivity with his priests and his princes together. Your false God is going to go into captivity. And the spoiler shall come upon every city, and no city shall escape. The valley also shall perish, and the plain shall be destroyed, as the Lord has spoken. Give wings unto Moab, that it may flee and get away, for the cities thereof shall be desolate without any to dwell therein. Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully, and cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood. If God tells you to bring judgment and you don't do it, if you won't tell the truth because you lose friends, God said, you're not worthy of the kingdom. You're cursed. Cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood. In the day of battle, God said, destroy the enemy. You say, well, yeah, but I like some of these people. Moab hath been at ease from his youth. And he hath setted on his lees. He hath not been emptied from vessel to vessel. That shall cause him to wander, and shall empty his vessels and break their bottles. That's the church today in the United States, you guys. He sent among us wanderers for leaders. And the church just began to wander around from doctrine to doctrine. I'm telling you the truth. Not knowing what it is that God's telling us that's going on. We're talking about all kinds of doctrinal things, but you guys, we've lost the sense of where God would tell us to go. So we see a lot of Christians just kind of wandering around waiting for Jesus to come back. And while that's happening, you guys, every kind of evil thing that could happen to this nation's taken place. People ruling over other people. You guys, we're coming to a time that everything that we knew that made us comfortable is being stripped away. Now, wanderers that shall cause him to wander, and shall empty his vessels and break their bottles. That's the church today in the United States, you guys. He sent among us wanderers for leaders. And the church just began to wander around from doctrine to doctrine. I'm telling you the truth. Not knowing what it is that God's telling us that's going on. We're talking about all kinds of doctrinal things, but you guys, we've lost the sense of where God would tell us to go. So we see a lot of Christians just kind of wandering around waiting for Jesus to come back. And while that's happening, you guys, every kind of evil thing that could happen to this nation's taken place. People ruling over other people. You guys, we're coming to a time that everything that we knew that made us comfortable is being stripped away. Now, emptied from vessel to vessel. Neither hath he gone into captivity. Therefore, his taste remained in him, and his scent is not changed. Sounds like America. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send unto him wanderers that shall cause him to wander, and shall empty his vessels and break their bottles. That's the church today in the United States, you guys. He sent among us wanderers for leaders. And the church just began to wander around from doctrine to doctrine. I'm telling you the truth. Not knowing what it is that God's telling us that's going on. We're talking about all kinds of doctrinal things, but you guys, we've lost the sense of where God would tell us to go. So we see a lot of Christians just kind of wandering around waiting for Jesus to come back. And while that's happening, you guys, wanderers that shall cause him to wander, and shall empty his vessels and break their bottles. That's the church today in the United States, you guys. He sent among us wanderers for leaders. And the church just began to wander around from doctrine to doctrine. I'm telling you the truth. Not knowing what it is that God's telling us that's going on. We're talking about all kinds of doctrinal things, but you guys, we've lost the sense of where God would tell us to go. So we see a lot of Christians just kind of wandering around waiting for Jesus to come back. And while that's happening, you guys, every kind of evil thing that could happen to this nation's taken place. People ruling over other people. You guys, we're coming to a time that everything that we knew that made us comfortable is being stripped away. Now, people ruling over other people. You guys, we're coming to a time that everything that we knew that made us comfortable is being stripped away. Now, what God's telling the church is, you know what? Hide away. Hide away in me. You can't hide away in stuff. Stuff isn't going to help you now. That's what was the catastrophe that came out of all this stuff. Solomon built the tabernacle to God. During the days of the building of that tabernacle, we are the temple of God. God's putting the temple together now. But during the days of that, they came into an ease and the nation declined while they were building the tabernacle of God. They declined as a nation and they went after these false gods. The people who walked with Abraham, the people from Abraham who walked with God. But there's only one. There's only one who's been chosen. So, well, hello, don't you look pretty? My goodness. I haven't seen you for a long time. How you been? Huh? You know my voice, but you don't know what I'm saying, do you? And you're wishing I'd quit talking to you because you're mollified. She's frozen in spot. So, God's bringing us to a place, and I want you to read this. Verse 5. Then King Ahasuerus answered and said unto Esther, the queen, who is he and where is he that durst presume in his heart to do so? And the word there, in his heart, is the same word as Ashtaroth, rich, enriched, to enrich oneself, or to pretend to be rich. Who has presumed to be so rich? Who has presumed to be so wealthy? Who has been so increased that he thinks he can kill all the Jews? Increased. You guys, it's a disaster to this church. The Christian church cannot reach the place it's satisfied. I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied with what? Well, I got ministry. I'm satisfied with where I'm at. I'm satisfied with my life. Satisfied with your life? You can't be satisfied with your life. Well, I'm satisfied with my wealth. You guys, we're about to lose all the satisfaction we have about wealth. We're about to lose all the satisfaction we have about wealth. Satisfied in Christ. Satisfied with seeing people come to Christ. That's our satisfied in Christ. Satisfied with seeing people come to Christ. That's our satisfaction. You guys, when I was in the jail ministry and had no income, and I was selling what I did have to stay in the jail ministry, because the Bible said sell all you have and give it to the poor, I just realized that I have to do this. This is the thing I do, but I didn't have much. I didn't have much. Several times in my life, I've sold everything I had to go on serving God. And you guys, what has happened out of that is God's enrichment. Because I found out that it wasn't what I had that made me wealthy. It wasn't what I had that made me safe. It wasn't what I had that made me comfortable. Satisfied in Christ. Satisfied with seeing people come to Christ. That's our satisfaction. You guys, when I was in the jail ministry and had no income, and I was selling what I did have to stay in the jail ministry, because the Bible said sell all you have and give it to the poor, I just realized that I have to do this. This is the thing I do, but I didn't have much. I didn't have much. Several times in my life, I've sold everything I had to go on serving God. And you guys, what has happened out of that is God's enrichment. Because I found out that it wasn't what I had that made me wealthy. It wasn't what I had that made me safe. It wasn't what I had that made me comfortable. It was God that made me comfortable. Without God, you're not comfortable. Without the joy of God in your life, it doesn't matter what you have. You guys, stuff has corrupted the church in this nation. And we want more. We're like the rich ruler. And the Laodicean church was a picture of that very attitude. We're rich and we have need of nothing. And out of that has come this disaster. So God takes Solomon, who is of the seed of David, but not the one who's going to build the temple. And he's built the tabernacle as a type and a shadow. But you guys, during this building process, God rejects him because he comes to the place that he is full. And now he can mess around with stuff. You guys, the church is beginning to mess around with all kinds of stuff. You go into a Bible bookstore and find out what they're messing around with. They've got novels. A novel means not true. We've left the facts and gone to novels. We've got romantic novels. You can buy romantic novels for men in Bible bookstores. A romantic novel for a man is what? A pickup truck and a shotgun? And there it was. The prettiest shotgun he'd ever seen. And it said, take me. And so he put it in his new truck and he drove away. The end. It's like, you guys, of course that's a romantic novel. The stuff women settle for romance is just, doesn't gag you? It's like, there are no trucks. There are no guns. It's like, that's romance? That's romance? You guys, the church has got to go back to the understanding that between these two covenants, the covenant of making it done yourself. You think we left that old covenant when they mocked? The Bible said that Ishmael is born. He's 13 years old. He gets circumcised. And Sarah sees this Ishmael making fun of Isaac. And so Sarah says, get him out of my house. Get him off my property. And I told you last Sunday, that's the high priest at the foot of the cross mocking Jesus. If you could watch that high priest make fun of Jesus and want him in the kingdom, you don't get what's going on. Sarah said, get him off of here. Get him out of here. I don't want this son of the bondwoman raised with my son. What happened to the apostles, you guys, that kept the bondwoman? What happened to the book of Hebrews written to the people of God who kept the bondwoman when they had the son? How in the world could you go back that direction? How in the world can you go all the way back to Ashtaroth? How can you go back to these gods? Moloch, the children of Israel, brought their babies to the altar of Moloch, which was molten steel. You know that's true. And they heated a fire in this molten steel, and you brought your baby and laid it alive on molten steel, and it burned to death. And you listened to it scream as a praise to Moloch. What in the world happened between God, the true God, and Abraham, who offered to give his own son, and the people of God who fell down to such a place that they bowed before an altar like that? What happens inside of a man that can trade a real God for religion? What happens inside of people that will go from truth to lies? The human nature wants to do something. And the higher the cost, the bigger you're serving God. You guys, that's what tears us down, because when you're walking with God and you're getting ready to have a service and the devil's telling you, you're not ready. Look at Joe. You tell the devil, the cross of Calvary is the reason I'm ready. The cross of Calvary is the reason I'm ready. The Bible said that out of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the man speaketh. God has filled my heart with him. Out of me comes a river of word, because I put in a river of word. Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I didn't study the Bible to impress people. I studied the Bible because it said that I was accountable to God. Study to show yourself approved unto God, not the church, not the elders, not your mom, not your dad, not your friends. Study to show yourself approved unto God. I want God to approve what I know from the word of God. And he'll do the same thing to you. That's why he sent you the teacher. Every one of us can have the teacher. Satisfied in Christ. Satisfied with seeing people come to Christ. That's our satisfaction. You guys, when I was in the jail ministry and had no income, and I was selling what I did have to stay in the jail ministry, because the Bible said, sell all you have and give it to the poor. I just realized that I have to do this. This is the thing I do, but I didn't have much. Several times in my life, I've sold everything I had to go and serve in God. And you guys, what has happened out of that is God's enrichment. Because I found out that it wasn't what I had that made me wealthy. It wasn't what I had that made me safe. It wasn't what I had that made me comfortable. That has just been most lately picked from among the women. And she can't even go before the king unless he invites her. And he hasn't invited her for a long time. And she finds out that Mordecai, who raised her, that's the ministry. Esther's a picture of the church. She didn't have a mother. She didn't have a father. She was raised by a ministry. Mordecai raised her. He's out at the gate. He's rent his clothes. And it's against the law of the land to rent your clothes and set in the gate of the king. And this man don't care about the law. He's going to die anyway. When you come down to living and dying, and I got to tell you something. Israel's at a dying point. Because the whole world is offering nuclear weapons to all of her enemies. In an hour that a nuclear weapon can reach her shore in less than 10 minutes. The war is not going to be a long, drawn-out thing where horses gather and people clash swords and it takes days for them to gather around Jerusalem. It's arming a weapon, setting it in motion, and 10 minutes later, it's in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is surrounded by her armies, by her enemies. And God said, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by her enemies, flee to the mountains. The church has got to flee to Christ. That's our mountain. That's our mountain. We're not going to flee to the mountains, the Rocky Mountains. You guys, they're rocky mountains. You don't want to live above timberline. There is no timber. You don't want to live where bears are. You want to flee to the mountain of God. And God's got a plan for you and I. So, we're watching the wrong things. Just like Israel's watching the wrong things. We got our eyes on our stuff. Our stuff, why? Well, because it's our stuff. That's why. Because what's happening in Jerusalem is not said. If you're in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. You won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And that's what we're being called to by the power of God. So this is what he told us about Esther, is that Haman had become full of pride of his wealth. And from that fullness came this declaration that he intended to kill all of God's people. Out of what, you guys? His own fullness? Sure, because he didn't have anything else to do. And he was angry at this man. This man made him angry because he was so wealthy and powerful. Why shouldn't I do something with my wealth and power against this man? If you have no wealth and power and the guy don't get up in the gate and recognize you, what is that? It is nothing. It isn't until you see yourself in a place that other people should bow to you that you begin to have these problems. And that's what happened to Haman. He believed that Mordecai ought to obey and ought to get up and bow before him. And this man don't do it. And then worse than that, he is a Jew. And standing between that catastrophe of God's people was one woman. That's the church. Esther also means star. But you guys, she's a star by choice. She was chosen among the virgins. And she recognized that she would have to risk her life to go in before the king. So she put her life on the line. You guys, standing up for the Jews, standing up for God's people, standing up for the truth is going to be very costly to your life. You're going to be hated as an American. You're going to be doubly hated as a Christian. You're going to be triply hated as a Christian Jew. And you are, you know. People say, well, you're a Jew? Yes, I am. That's dangerous in the world. But you're going to be hated as an American. You're going to be doubly hated as a Christian. You're going to be triply hated as a Christian Jew. And you are, you know. People say, well, you're a Jew? Yes, I am. That's dangerous in the world. But you are a Jew. Inwardly, you know, if you've been born again. I'd love to tell the Messianic Jews who love to be Jewish and the people who've met them. How many of you met a Christian that has touched a Jew? And how once you've touched a Jew, you have that little special Jewishness, right? Messianic Jews who love to be Jewish and the people who've met them. How many of you met a Christian that has touched a Jew? And how once you've touched a Jew, you have that little special Jewishness, right? I've met some people that touch Jews, and you can't touch them. It's like, don't touch me. Don't touch me. I've touched a Jew. I am a Jew, I tell them. If you like Jews, you're going to love me because I'm a Jew. Yeah. Born inwardly. Am I right?
Yeah.
That's good enough for God.
Yeah.
So listen, let's real quick go back to our scriptures over here in Genesis. We want to go to 21. 20, the Messianic Jews who love to be Jewish. And the people who've met them, how many of you met a Christian that has touched a Jew? And how once you've touched a Jew, you have that little special Jewishness, right? I've met some people that touch Jews and you can't touch them. It's like, don't touch me. Don't touch me. I've touched a Jew. I am a Jew, I tell them. If you like Jews, you're going to love me because I'm a Jew.
Yeah.
Born inwardly, am I right?
Yeah.
That's good enough for God. So listen, let's real quick go back to our scriptures over here in Genesis. We want to go to 21. 20, doing your best or letting God do his best and do something in you. The believing of this thing is tremendous, you guys. And somewhere between these two covenants, you're going to fall into one or two camps. You're either going to follow on with Abraham, who didn't ever worship these gods, or you're going to fall in with the people of Israel, who eventually just worshiped everything that came along. Wandering around, not knowing who to serve and what to do. Whose doctrine is right, who's teaching the truth. And that's where Christianity is today. So let's go back to Genesis. Let's go back to chapter 20. And so the daughters of Lot in chapter 19 bring forth these two nations. Abraham journeyed from there, verse 1 of chapter 20, toward the south country and dwelt between Kadesh and Sur and sojourned in Gerar. Now, this king takes Sarah, and God stops every womb from bringing birth. Because the man chosen of God is there, and the promise of God is there. And no one else can have a baby. Wouldn't that have been great for Lot's daughters? Wouldn't that have been great for Lot's daughters? Yeah. Where Abraham, where truth is, you try to take the promise, you try to do the ministry yourself, you try to go do it yourself, nothing. God shuts your womb up. So men do what? They learn how to make good sermons. You can't shut my womb up, I'll build a big building. I'll get people to give offerings. I'll do this. And I'll be rich. I can make good sermons. You guys, there are really eloquent preachers. I feel sorry that you got stuck with me and Fred. Fred's a good preacher, but still got stuck with us. And there are some really good preachers out there. Oh, the Amen Corner's in the nursery today, huh? Okay. Now listen to what happens. See how uncomfortably they laughed, Fred, with you and me both here watching? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But they will talk of that when we're not here. Listen. So you can read with me. Verse 18 of chapter 20. For the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abram's wife. God just doesn't let religion roll where the promise of God is. That's where you want to be, isn't it? You'd like to be in the very center of the promise of God so that where you are, religion ain't functioning. The womb don't open and just deliver the stuff. Now listen, chapter 21, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Only Isaac was circumcised that day. When Abraham was circumcised and everyone in his house, when Ishmael was circumcised, Isaac wasn't there yet. Am I right? Only Isaac is circumcised alone. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. Of course, Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who shall have said unto Abraham, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should give children suck, for I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. Just weaned. So Isaac is weaned and no longer on the breast of the old covenant. And what you and I see is the cross of Calvary, the day of the weaning. How many know that's right? Because the new covenant is taking shape. There are 12 apostles in the wings waiting with the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are 120 people going to gather in an upper room. And this weaning takes place because now we're changing a covenant and the blood's going to be shed. The day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son, as his seed. You guys, watching all the Jewish people march into apostasy was not an easy thing for God to watch. There was no joy in the telling of it. Jesus told those people that were weeping, he said, don't weep for me. Don't weep for me. Weep for yourselves and your children. You guys, he was begging them to turn around. But he did tell Benjamin, he did tell Rachel, don't weep. Jeremiah, in the prophet Jeremiah, he said, you tell Rachel, don't weep because her work is going to be rewarded in the last days. Her children are going to come out of the land of the enemy. So you see, you guys, this old covenant was a crashing thing, but it still contained the seed of the church.